Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
Well, I want to open up really quick to Psalm 130, and I'll try to be quick today. Psalm 130. We're continuing to look at some psalms here, a psalm for all seasons. And as we look at Psalm 130, this is really a psalm I see in two different ways. One is in a season of waiting, in a time where maybe you're maybe waiting on God for something, maybe an answer. Maybe you're waiting on Him because of something extremely difficult that you're facing. We all have times and seasons where we're waiting upon God, and sometimes it can be very painful in the waiting. But also the other way that we see this is exactly how the psalmist puts it, is out of the depths, I cry to you. And so this is a psalm from the depths, Psalm 130. I'll read all eight verses here to begin with. The psalmist says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice of pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." God, I pray today that you would speak to us. Just allow your word to speak to our hearts. Let it be planted deep down in our souls. Encourage us, we pray today through this word. In Jesus' name, amen. So first, the psalmist says, out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. And there are times in life where we feel like we are in the deepest depths. And what this is really saying and what it's meaning, you know, we've all heard people say before, you know, I was at an all-time low, or maybe this one, I hit rock bottom, or I am at a point right now where I am just at rock bottom. And that's really what the psalmist is getting at here in verse 1. Out of the depths, I cry to you. And in Hebrew, this phrase, the depths, it means deep waters. That's literally what it means, deep waters. And it has a sense of being overwhelmed and sinking into the depths of the sea. Think of that moment with Peter, the disciple, yesterday after our men's, at the end of our men's breakfast. We talked about this story of Peter walking on water. Tony Perez shared a really powerful testimony about how God really reached down and pulled him out of the depths of something that he was going through in his own life. And we ended by talking about this passage where Peter is there in the boat and with the disciples, and Jesus is out walking on the water. They don't know it's Jesus. They think it's a ghost, and they're terrified, they're afraid, the storm is raging around them, and they don't know who it is. They're afraid, and Jesus calls out to them, it is I, do not be afraid, don't be afraid. And Peter, you remember what Peter did? He said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come out to you. And he said, come. He invited him, come, and he gets out of the boat and starts walking, and it was then that he saw the waves crashing. He felt the wind, he felt the elements, and became afraid. And it says that he began to sink. And I imagine this moment that the psalmist is facing right here, out of the depths I cry to you. I imagine that being very much like what Peter faced in that second as he is going down into the water, into the deep waters. And Peter, as we know, he cried out. He cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And what did Jesus do? He just reached out his hand and pulled Peter up. It was a moment of helplessness for Peter. In the depths, he cried out to the Lord, and that's what the psalmist is doing right here. And in the depths, when we cry out, God hears. It says that he is attentive to our voice and our pleas for mercy. And the first thing I want to encourage us today, this is what I want, one of the things I want you to take with you today, is when you don't know what to pray, plea for mercy. Plea for mercy. Have you ever been in a place, just in the deepest depths of helplessness, whatever you're sinking into, and you just truly do not have any words? You are so helpless. You're at the end of yourself. You are at rock bottom, and you don't know what to pray. Well, here in the Psalms, in Psalm 130, what we learn is that when we don't know what to pray, just cry out to the Lord. Just plea for mercy. Say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? If you haven't, I bet there will come a time where you are, where you don't know what else to pray. But there's one thing you can take with you today. Take that with you. When you don't know what to pray, cry out for mercy. And what we see is it's the best thing we can pray because we recognize that we're sinful and we're in need of mercy. We're not just in need of God's help to maybe pull us out of a messy situation. We need his mercy, which mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And for each one of us, what we deserve is to stay deep down in the depths because of our sin. Look at what it says, verse 3. It says, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Who could stand? And what this is meaning, this cry, O Lord, if you should mark iniquities, what does that mean? Mark iniquities means to remember, to preserve, or to record our sins for future punishment. And if God would mark our iniquities, would keep track, we know that that list would be endless. This is an image of writing down all our offenses as a legal record. But we know that our God does not do that. Those of us who cry out to the Lord to save us, to have mercy upon us, he wipes that record clean. 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. It says, not counting their trespasses against them. Wow. That's the mercy of God right there. Not counting our trespasses against us. And it's evident here that the psalmist was in the depths of guilt. We don't know what all else the psalmist was facing here, but we know that he was overwhelmed in his sin, was sinking in the depths of his sin and was completely helpless, cries out, Lord, have mercy upon me. And what does he find? Verse 4, he says, but with you there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. And maybe you relate to that today. Maybe you are feeling helpless, feeling overwhelmed in your sin. Maybe you've never come to a place where you've experienced that forgiveness, where you've experienced that mercy. You can experience that instantaneously by crying out to him for mercy. God, save me. Let me experience your forgiveness. God, I feel that that list is endless. That list of sins is endless. But in crying out to him, you can know and believe that those sins are wiped away, They are cast as far as the east as from the west. The scripture says that he remembers them no more. When you don't know what to pray, whether it's sinking deep into your sin, or whether you're just in some helpless situation, you are desperate for an answer. When you don't know what to pray, plea for mercy. The second thing that we see is when you don't know what to believe, remember his promises. When you don't know what to believe, remember his promises. If you're waiting for an answer, if you're going through struggles, if you're going through pain, if you're going through loss, if you're going through grief, whatever you're facing, sometimes we don't know what to believe about the future. Sometimes we don't know what to believe about when we're going to find that answer. Sometimes we don't know what to believe about how God is going to answer. The most important thing we can do is remember his promises. Because as much as we try to help each other, which is very important, to be there for one another, to comfort one another, to encourage one another with our words, sometimes what we can maybe hear from someone else in a difficult situation is, you know, hang in there, it's going to get better. And that's, you know, can be an encouragement for the moment. You know, it might give us a little hope. But we don't know that. We can't guarantee something's going to get better. Or someone might say, you know what? I think you're going to get the answer. I think you're going to get that answer that you're praying for. We don't always know that. And when you don't know what to believe, remember the promises of God. Verse 5, the psalmist says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his what? In his word, I hope. I hope. Sometimes I might sound like a broken record. Sometimes I feel that way. You know, just believe the promises of God. Believe the promises of his word. Go back to his word. But where else can we go? The disciples said that to Jesus. Where else should we go? Where else can we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. And here's what we do. Let's be honest. What we do with the promises of God is that they just kind of sit on a shelf. And we're like, I'll go, you know. Oh, yeah, those are nice things to occasionally remember. Or maybe it's something, you know, a phrase that we have somewhere hidden in one of our rooms on a plaque or something, a promise of God, and it's in a place where you don't see it. You aren't reminded of it regularly. But I'm here to tell you today that when you don't know what to believe, when the future is unsure, when you're waiting for that answer, rest in his promises. Rest on what you do know. Rest on what you can believe. And I want to just, I think this is kind of fitting here today because lots of distractions. I just want to share some promises with you. Scripture is full of promises. But just listen. Just listen. Close your eyes if you need to. And just listen to some of these promises. When you don't know what to believe, believe these promises. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When you're afraid, when you're discouraged or dismayed, he will strengthen you. He will help you. He will uphold you. A promise you can stand on. Psalm 34:10. If you're uncertain about how God's going to be providing for you, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack anything good. Psalm 72:12. He will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will deliver. Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous to be shaken. He won't let you be shaken. Sometimes you'll feel it shaking around you, but he's not going to let you slip. Psalm 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Now here's a hard one, but an incredible one. Job 23:10 says, he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I will come out. This is kind of the hard part, but the incredible part. I will come out as gold, purified, valuable. Isn't this a precious promise? As hard as the pain is, as hard as the trials are, when he's tried us, this is a promise, friends. When he's tried us, we will come out purified. We will come out as gold. Psalm 121:7. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and you're coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. He'll go before us. He'll go with us. He'll walk beside us. Isaiah 43:2. When, remember this one, when, not if, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, it doesn't say here. It doesn't say around it, over it, or under it, but it says through it. You shall not be burned through the fire. The flame shall not consume you. Finally, Isaiah 46:4. Even to your old age and gray hair, I am he. I am he who will sustain you, and I will carry you. These are promises. When you don't know what to believe, go back to the promises of God. Believe what you can know. Believe what he has said. Don't just believe in the things that you're just hoping for, those answers that you prefer, that are ideal in your mind. Go back to what you can know, the promises that he gives us. Finally, when you don't know what to do while you wait, keep watching. When you don't know what to do while you wait, keep watching. Verse 5 and 6 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. Did you notice the repetition there? More than watchmen for the morning. What this is referring to, it's referring to the guards who would keep watch over the city at night. Outside the walls of the city and fighting off whatever danger they encountered, sitting there in the darkness. They didn't have street lights like we do today. They didn't have quite as much security back then. But they sat and they waited and waited, kept watch, guarded, and waited and longed for that morning light, exhausted from the dark of night. But they kept watching and waiting, knowing that the morning would come. The morning would come. And maybe you're keeping watch right now in a dark moment, a dark time in your life, hold on to this hope right here and wait for the Lord. Wait for Him. Wait with... Thankfully, I think I'm on that one, not that one. Thanks, guys. Wait for the Lord, but wait watchfully and wait with expectancy. Wait with expectancy. Because He hears your voice. He listens to your voice, your pleas for mercy. And finally, in closing, those last two verses, 7 and 8. This is a call for all the believers. This is so fitting for us even here today as we're united in our hope. Verse 7 and 8. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption. And He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. I have to say that during this time, during this past year, those that have been tracking with us regularly online and so many that have been faithfully coming outdoors or indoors when we were in there for, what, 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever that was. Maybe we should take a vote this morning. What should we do next week? What I've been so encouraged by and reminded of, and you've all been such an inspiration in this, is that you come because of the hope we have. You come because this is a place where you're going to find friendship, where you're going to find and hear the words of hope, the words of peace, the words of forgiveness. This is a place where you're going to come and understand further the deepest meaning of life. Be reminded of your purpose for life. Being reminded week after week that our God is worthy to be praised. Our God is on His throne. He is sovereign. And this morning I came set up out here and then headed back home to get myself ready and drove by Dorothy's Chuck Wagon Cafe. I'm like, oh, a bunch of people sitting out there. I'm like, who sits out and eats breakfast, like pays to eat breakfast outside in wind like this? What? Who comes to a service out in this crazy wind? Why would we do that? It's because God is our only hope. He's the one we need most. O Israel, O Good Shepherd family, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption. Do you believe that hope today? Do you believe it enough to come back next week? I'm going to invite the team up as we close here, if there's stuff left up here. Okay. We'll come out toward you guys, and maybe we'll just, should we just dismiss the live stream after this, after the prayer? Oh, Nick's going to follow them. Thanks, Nick. Awesome. As we prepare to sing this benediction song, let's pray. Lord God, We thank you for the hope that we do have. We thank you for your precious promises. And in moments like the psalmist prays out of the depths, in times of waiting where we're just maybe even at rock bottom, help us to look to you always. Help us to not lose faith. Help us to keep watch. Help us to be alert to the ways you are working in the waiting, and how you're growing us, how you're refining us, and how you're strengthening our hope in you. Pray your blessing over each person here, each person watching and listening. God, fill us with your great and steadfast love. We thank you and praise you for your great mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.